The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
The bench with a pinch hit, huge home run.
So there's two ways of looking at that home run. Number one, Mauricio Dubon heard Joe George on yesterday's show and felt motivated. Or number two, Joe George is just wrong about Mauricio Dubon. Hashtag Doobie do it. And needs to apologize.
Hashtag fake news, Paul. Well, and the words of the great Maui from Moana. Oh. What can I say except you're welcome,
not a real
Mauricio
Disney
Dubon.
Not a real Disney movie.
It's really not. I did say he's better off the bench. I do apologize a little bit, but maybe not.
No. This was your moment. This is your moment to take a stand, Joe.
You know, play him off the bench. He's not a starter. Mauricio Dubon, also A-plus bat flip. Credit to you.
I gave you two options here. I said, number one, you could say you motivated him. And number two, you can apologize for being wrong about him. And you chose number two. This is so Chicago Bears of you.
I know it is. It is. I apologize, Mauricio, if I offended you. I hope that it was slightly motivating. You know, and like, you can call in, say thanks, Joe, for motivated me. You're kind of a jerk, but you know what? At least you didn't treat me like what's his name? I can't remember his name now. This is even worse. The pitcher who I crucified.
Blair Henley.
Blair Henley. That's
his name. He's dead to you and all of us because you killed him.
Yeah.
On the air.
But Mauricio Dubon, he responded. He responded like a G.
He did. Ooh, like a G.
Like a G. So congrats to you, Mauricio Dubon, for stepping up when it mattered most. Also, shout out to O'Neal Cruz for sucking at shortstop.
Man, the Pirates defensively, 8 errors in 3 games. I mean, the Astros were making more errors than we've ever seen, but 8 errors in 3 games by Pittsburgh in this series. So as far as Mauricio Dubon goes, look, we go back and forth every single day. This is the most bipolar radio show in the history of the world when it comes to covering the local nine. And yeah, Dubon actually came through as a pinch hitter last night. It is Gallant and George on a Thursday, August 1st, 2024. I am Paul Gallant. He is Joe George. Do we want Joe to continue to stew in this? Want to hear Mauricio Dubon explaining his approach at the plate for that pinch hit home run?
Let's hear it, Doobie.
You know, it's been a rough month of July. Everybody knows that. Just go in there, try to keep it simple, you know. Just try to do too much. I was not trying to hit a home run, actually. I was actually trying to, you know, get on base, get everybody going. You know, I said a prayer before I came out, you know. I need your help, God. I need your help right now. I can't carry this cross anymore. I need you right now.
Wait a second.
What am I apologizing for? He's praying to God to get a hit? He was desperate.
Did he say at the very end of that, after talking about praying to God, that struggling at the plate has been my cross to bear?
You know, I said a prayer before I came out. You know, I need your help, God. I need your help right now. I can't carry this cross anymore. I need you right now.
I can't carry this cross anymore. I need you right now. Well, yeah, struggling in July can feel like that. You can feel like old Jesus going through it.
Just going through.
On that last fateful day.
What a great quote. I'm like almost thrown off. I'm a little thrown off.
I am thrown off by it too.
I'm a little thrown off by the end of that quote, to be honest.
Two guys carrying a piece of wood that felt very heavy.
Ooh.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Okay, Doobie.
Keep an eye out for Mauricio Dubon in a couple days.
See what happens.
He's going to be ascending into heaven.
Grand Slam walk-off this weekend for Mauricio Dubon.
He makes a web gem where he flies up into the rafters of Minute Maid Park.
You know, it's so funny that, like, when you hear guys talk like this at times, because, like, you know they're just going through it. And, like, it's the one thing with sports that I think, like, we give guys a hard time for struggling, but, like, he's clearly just going through it this month. But he ended the month on a banger. He got the home run. He's feeling good. And now we get to August, and it's football season, basically, and it's almost playoff season in baseball. So, Mauricio Dubon, vibes are good.
And the Astros vibes are good. Because a man who I guess wasn't praying to God enough, based off of Mauricio Dubon's success last night, Rafael Montero got DFA'd.
Finally.
I wasn't sure they'd do it, Joe, but in the same year that they moved on from Jose Abreu's three-year, $58.5 million contract, halfway through it, they also moved on from Rafael Montero's three-year, $34.5 million contract with about... what, a year and a quarter left on it? Mm-hmm. I guess this is their version of cleaning up the Lufthansa heist. But instead of a Lufthansa heist, it was a Lufthansa giveaway. Whoops, we left all our stuff out on the street. We thought people would leave money there and be nice about it. Instead, we spent nearly $100 million on two players that were god-awful. After signing those deals.
I also don't want to, you know, give them a pass on Michael Brantley, who didn't play last year.
Yeah, that's I forgot. Like,
there was a third player and all that. I give him credit. I really didn't think they were going to do it. At that point, you know, at this point in the season, the quality of pitcher that they acquired at the deadline with Caleb Ferguson, that didn't scream that, you know, Rafael Montero was getting DFA'd next. It was logical for it to happen. But to eat that much money in two contracts, in which you also have Lance McCullers not pitching, and you have all these guys who are hurt, and just you're spending a ton of money for guys who aren't playing. You're specifically paying a way ton of money for two guys who are just not even on the team anymore.
Yeah.
And maybe Montero comes back. You know, Dana Brown said, you know, he hopes that Montero will take the DFA assignment and will figure things out in Sugarland. I doubt it. But I'm just glad they did it.
Here's Astros general manager Dana Brown yesterday explaining why the Astros finally made the decision to move on from Rafael Montero now.
We're just, you know, trying to improve the bullpen and get strong. And we realize that Montero has been going through a rough patch. And I mean, he's been really good for this organization, and you know, it kind of stands out when you're going through a rough patch, and I think he realized he was struggling and he was frustrated, and you know, so we're really trying to lock down our bullpen, and so we felt like this would really help our bullpen. Our guys have been grinding through the whole year, and so you know, we just want to bring in some reinforcements.
Rough patch, Dana. Okay, I mean, 2022 is the anomaly of Rafael Montero's career. Mm-hmm. Credit to Montero for getting paid. I'm not going to hate on him for getting paid. I will hate on the Houston Astros for doing it. It's not Dana Brown's fault, but rough patch. He's been good for the Astros. He was good for the Astros in 2022. That is it. Please, for the love of God, stop trying to tell us that the pee coming down on us isn't rain. Okay, R. Kelly? Come on.
He was okay in July. He had only three appearances in July out of eight where he gave up earned runs. So not that it was dramatically improving, but I just Paul, I really didn't think they were going to do this. I think back to when the Abreu thing happened, I would have bet that Montero would have been DFA'd first because it was the cheaper contract. And I guess because they weren't using him every single day, but it is about damn time that they're doing this and they're trying to make this team as good as possible. And we saw what happened the last time they did this. When they DFA'd Jose Abreu, their season completely turned around. They started playing way better baseball because the lineup was better. It was deeper without him in it. And I'm not sure having Rafael Montero not on this team solves that, but it will improve it.
Do you think this resets the season again?
No.
After losing, what, 6 of 10? It's another season reset?
No, I don't think so.
You know, they felt like they needed another shot in the arm. Here we go. All right, another sacrifice to the gods, Aztec style. Pull out Rafael Montero's $34.5 million heart. Throw it down the side of a pyramid, baby.
Now, if you're going to make the argument for it, it's more logical to restart the season now because you're basically at square zero because you're only up by, what, 0.001%?
But you are in first place.
But you are in first place. So this, you're tied for first place, though.
I think it's technically 0.1% if we're doing our math correctly.
Oh, yeah.
0.001 percentage points.
Yes, that's what I meant to say.
Well, sorry to quell actually you on the math. We're trying to get better at the math, okay?
We're trying, yeah. I told Paul, I was like, I haven't slept much. So like, if I have to do math today, it's going to be extra bad. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with you correcting me. I'd rather be, you know, informed than be totally wrong.
Hell yeah.
So, but yeah, maybe the season does start over today. I think we said no more restarts, though.
We did.
I think we said no more restarts, and there's only one more World Series.
Doesn't mean the Astros can't try to do it again.
That's a good point. That's good.
We look, I think we're all on board with this. Everyone wanted this to happen. I don't think anyone deserves a pat on the back for this. Like, the contract never should have happened, ever. Like, Abreu made sense, at least to some degree. Montero never made a effing lick of sense. It never did. I do not know why they did it. They could have asked me, and I get it. I'm not a baseball expert, but I covered him in Seattle. And even though everyone in Seattle was crying over that Kendall Graveman trade, I was laughing at the fact that they got Rafael Montero out of town. I didn't want to watch him pitch. Every single time he came into a game in Seattle, that was cue for me to start watching Game of Thrones for the sixth time on TV or some other show that I've already seen. That was my cue to stop watching baseball. And I did it every single time he came in.
Especially with the fact that they always... I mean, how many times did they give us back of the baseball card over the last year and a half?
For both Montero and Abreu.
But if you... But
who are both gone.
Yeah, but Montero, maybe they should have just looked at the back of his baseball card. Where he, in 2020, he had a 4-plus ERA. In 2021, he had a 6-plus ERA. In 2023, he was a 5-plus.
Yeah.
2017, 5-plus. 2016, 8-plus. Mm-hmm. He's never been a good pitcher in Major League Baseball, except for in 2019, when he only appeared in 22 games, and then in 2022. That's it. Those are the only two times where he's been a below 3 ERA pitcher in baseball. So, it was a awful decision, and probably paying him that much money has led to trading away some of your prospects because you haven't been able to spend money in free agency in the offseason to add pitching depth in the bullpen or in the rotation. Because you signed those two awful contracts, it's hurt you. And I'm glad he's gone now. And while I give them a little bit of credit for actually doing it, because the owner and Jim Crane, who many deem cheap, is now paying a ton of money to two guys who are no longer here.
He is Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can also join us on our Twitch at ESPN 97.5, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, or listen to us on 97.9 HD2. Up next, this is a question for you. Now that they have moved on from both Jose Abreu and Rafael Montero, eating a ton of money along the way, do you trust the Astros front office again? You answer that for us next. We'll give our thoughts to Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
You know how this show works. I tell some anecdote that's largely uninteresting and try to relate it to what's going on in the world of sports right now, and Joe shakes his head and tries to figure out where the hell I'm going. But guess what? We're about to do that right now. Joe, did you know I'm part Scottish?
I did not.
Okay, I'm part Scottish. There's a stereotype about the Scottish. It's that they're cheap. It's that they're stubborn.
Okay.
And I might be a little bit of both. When I was just a sophomore in college, I spent a summer in Massachusetts interning at an ESPN radio station in Boston. And I was working out. I was trying to get bigger during the summer. So I'd come back my junior year looking hot, looking ripped, revenge bod. I started taking this protein powder. I switched brands because I couldn't find the store where I normally bought from, GNC. So I went to a vitamin shop and I spent $70 on protein powder. I found out after buying this protein powder, though, that I was mildly allergic to it. And instead of just throwing it in the trash, you know what I kept on doing? I kept on using it. First time I took it, oh, okay, just a couple scratchy throats. Third time I took it, my tongue swole up. The third time I took it, after getting mad because I couldn't find my keys, I developed hives and went into a little bit of an anaphylactic shock kind of deal. Had to go to the emergency room, pumped with Benadryl through IV. And I say all that to say, that's what the Houston Astros were doing with Rafael Montero.
Just trying over and over again, no matter what the cost.
They spent a lot of money on something, and they were not about to throw it away because they spent the money on it, just like I spent the money on that protein powder. And eventually, they came to their senses and realized, wait, we're allergic to this. We got to get rid of it. It doesn't matter how we do it. We must toss this.
Okay, so you didn't finish it.
No, but I got,
you got, you got pretty close.
I got halfway through it.
Okay, about how they got halfway through Montero's contract. Like, I see the correlation here.
they got three quarters of the way through yeah. it. So I guess they're a little tougher than me on that front.
Well, you know, they're also not, you know, dying, you know, a little
That's
bit
true.
Each time they drink it.
That's true.
Now, we're dying every time they put Montero on the field.
Yeah.
But they're not.
So he's finally gone. And the question I have for you guys is if you trust the Astros brass now, because this does officially mark the end of the, hey, remember when we didn't have a GMT era? It's over. You know, from James Klick's firing to the hiring of Dana Brown, Abreu, Montero, Brantley, about $100 million for those three. It looks like this is now in the past, unless you still look at the Josh Hader deal and passing on Blake Snell as things that have the Letterman jacket, Skull and Bone Society fingerprints on it. But I think right now, Joe, the Astros really want us to believe that they can, that we can trust them again, that we don't have to get nervous about meddlesome Jim Crane or meddlesome Jeff Bagwell. And that quote that we talked about yesterday from Dana Brown on the Astros flagship, where he said, ultimately, I bear the responsibility as GM of the Astros. I make the final decision. It was made by me with collaboration from the front office, talking about the Yusei Kikuchi trade. That 100% applies to this Rafael Montero move. And this action speaks way louder than words. I think the Astros are trying to convince us that Dana Brown is actually running the show. Do we believe them? That is up to you. I don't know if I do, but I know that they are trying to prove to us that Dana Brown is in control and someone who is worthy of your trust.
Yeah, I would say that it's a good faith move for the organization to realize that they made a huge mistake and for Jim Crane to eat this contract. It shows Dana Brown has some sway of what can and can't be on this roster, but I can't give them full faith back into this front office yet because, you know, the picture I saw a bunch of people have posted it because it was on TV of Dana Brown and Jeff Bagwell looking like they're having a very serious conversation in one of the booths at the game the other night. It's still, he's still there. It's still Baggy. You know, it's still the comments from earlier this season when Reggie Jackson was on John Heyman's podcast and talked about how him and Biggio and Bagwell and Crane, oh, and Dana Brown are collaboratively making these decisions. Until the Houston Astros say that Jeff Bagwell no longer has say in personnel decisions and is no longer around the team in that capacity and goes back to just being a filling guy on TV and radio and showing up for photos, I can never give them full faith again.
Well, that's never going to happen.
That's a problem. Like, if, let's say the Astros miss the playoffs.
Wow, Joe Hader.
You think there's any chance they just fire Dana Brown?
No, I don't think after this year.
So let's say it's next year. They fire Dana Brown after the 2025
season. If they miss the playoffs back-to-back years, yeah. Yes, they will. They'd probably move on from Espada as well. But I think both Espada and Brown, at least to me, are safe for the rest of this year.
In 2025, then, let's say, Dana Brown has been fired, and it's going to take them another 4 months like it has the last two times to hire a GM. You guys don't think that Jim Crane and Jeff Bagwell are going to be out there signing free agents again?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if they have the money.
Like, they might not have the money, but I just don't believe that with given the opportunity to make their own decisions, whether it's through Dana Brown or without him down the road, that they wouldn't do so. So they've done a lot of damage into my belief about this front office. It's not necessarily a Dana Brown thing. It's the people who are really in charge. And if they have the opportunity, will they spend recklessly on a player like they probably did with Josh Hader?
I think, depends on what they're actually, one, willing to spend. And also, two, and I, to be perfectly honest, I don't 100% know how all this works, but if you buy out a guy from his contract, does that contract still count towards the luxury tax threshold? I would think so, because it would be rather unfair for a good team to have a bad contract and not be able to get out from underneath it. Like, the Dodgers could just buy everybody out all the time. Maybe the Mets could do the same thing as well. I don't know the answer to that. Maybe somebody else does. 713-780-3776 to call, to text in the meantime. We've got Jay. Jay wants to weigh in on your beloved Houston Astros. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Look, I don't know if I can trust the Astros. It's fun going to the games, but, like, I mean, if James Click got fired, or not fired, but let go after winning a World Series, I mean, this Dana Brown got to go if we don't make the playoffs, or if we lose in the first round. He's got to go. Everyone in the office with him got to go. That's including Bagwell. Like, buddy, just go back to getting drunk behind home plate and watching games.
Whoa.
Just do that for me. All right? And then the doctors, let them go. I mean, they the diagnosis they're doing, they don't know what they're doing, so let them go. Chaz McCormick, JB, McCullers, everyone, just clean out house. No matter how the season ends, whether a World Series or eliminated in the first round, just clean out house, and appreciate it.
All right, Jay. Clean house.
Jay wants to fire everybody.
Jay wants to play Layla by Derek and the Dominoes, the end part on the piano, and take everybody out like in Goodfellas after the Lufthansa heist when they, you know, everyone ends up getting got. Like Samuel L. Jackson's the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And that one guy who's got the afro, he's like hanging from from a meat hook.
Oh, that's such a great scene. That whole scene's so good.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with him about the medical team, though. Can they fire those guys? That's the only one I'm like really stand behind Jay with. Like, it's not time for a change within your medical department yet.
They don't need to miss the playoffs to fire the medical.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't think they need
start to, working on their resume.
I don't think they need to fire Dana Brown. I think he's done a fine job, it seems, with what he's allowed to do. But I don't. That's why he's not really allowed to do everything.
Seems like it would be very easy to announce that they've changed medical staffs, training staffs, as opposed to what you were asking for, Joe, which is to have the Astros say, we disavow Jeff Bagwell, which of course would be crazy for anyone to say about one of their few Hall of Fame players. You can't do it. You just can't. And you don't want to admit that he's had a role, even though he has basically said that he has had a role. It's a weird place that they're in. And I don't know what the correct setting is to confront them on this, because if you have
Dana Brown or Jim Crane available to the media again. And we haven't seen Jim Crane at all this year. Maybe somebody will ask it, but they're probably going to have to glad handle the way that they ask it because it's credentialed media and you don't want to get, you know, a spanking from the Astros and have your access revoked. It is tricky because I don't think there's any official titles here. We're talking about consultants, essentially. So you ask Jim Crane point blank, he's going to say, no, this is Dana's job. And I think that they're trying to like now prove it with actions on top of that.
Yeah, they and that's why I believe Dana's quote from yesterday that you just read as well is really about where he said it was his decision to make these moves at the deadline. But you're right, they put themselves in an awkward position with Bagwell. It's one thing that I would advise any team to never ever do. It never ends well. The Broncos and John Elway doesn't end well. St. John's.
They did win a Super Bowl with Elway, though.
They did. But still, when you have to fire him eventually, it's awkward.
This one's for John.
St. John's with Chris Mullins when he was there. Patrick Ewing at Georgetown. It's always kind of awkward when you bring down like a hometown hero. Remember when people were like, Andre Johnson should be a part of the front office? That's a bad idea.
Whoa, why?
Because what if you have to fire him eventually?
Joe, he's going into the Hall of Fame, for God's sake.
But you don't want to have to fire a Hall of Famer.
Joe, this week.
Sucks.
This week, you're taking drive-bys of Joey Lopofito.
No.
Henley's name from the grave and peed all over and then buried him again.
No, I'm telling Andre, don't take that job, Andre. Like, don't do it. It puts you in an awkward position with your fans because they have to be upset with someone that they love. People don't talk about Jeff Bagwell, the player, anymore. They talk about Jeff Bagwell, the GM.
Or Jeff Bagwell, as Jay said, the guy who likes to imbibe. Nothing wrong with imbibing, guys. Back in the 70s, these guys were all hammered when they were making moves. Okay, cut them some slack. Let's have a drunk workplace again like it's Mad Men, huh?
These guys probably drink and make deals on
Martini
the golf course.
At 10 a.m. Yeah.
Yeah, like they're drinking. Like it still happens. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
I feel like James Click doesn't, though. And that's how you...
That's why you got it kicked out. Yeah, don't be a bitch.
that's why you trade Bloss, Wagner, and Lopofito for Kikuchi.
I mean, he's a party killer. He's a vibe killer, okay? You know, like, listen, I respect all those who are going through sobriety. But if you're not, buzzkill alert. Hey, James Click, he showed up at 6 a.m. this morning to crunch numbers. He didn't even take in the shotgunning at 8. What's going on here? Sorry, I think Bagwell's in recovery as well, so how dare you assume somebody going through it is not...
Was not me.
...going through it anymore. No, I'm talking about the caller. I'm not talking about you.
I'm just making sure that there's no confusion here that I also disassociated myself.
I haven't put any words in your mouth this segment.
I'm just making sure.
Or at least in the last 3 minutes. There was a texter the other day who said Paul's a bully, and that actually hit me hard. I was like, damn, I kind of have been one of late. I have been a little bit of a dick.
If you're, okay, on a scale of like 1 to 10, 10 being O'Doyle, the O'Doyles.
The O'Doyles.
You're like a 3.
A 3? Okay, yeah. Well, that you know what, that reflects that I need to improve on myself.
I've been bullied way more in my career than I am right now.
That's good, okay.
Yeah.
Who's bullied you the most? Killer Bees, it's fine. You don't have to say it. The
radio
George
show might be on at 3 p.m. today. And it might or might not be on the station.
Yeah, I was going to say, which one that's on at 3 p.m.?
I left myself open, okay?
So it's between those two.
Well, I don't know if it's A or a B or what, but...
How far down the alphabet?
You don't only have to go 2 letters.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Interesting. Very interesting.
They still bully me.
They do, actually.
The other day they were talking about me again.
It's crazy. They miss you. That's why.
Yeah. Junior Bronco says, Joe, you deserve all the bullying. Whatever.
That's not nice, Junior Bronco.
You're the biggest bully, Junior Bronco.
Junior Broncos is Twitch. The biggest bully on the Twitch, which is saying something, because our Twitch, I mean, listen, we love them. They stick around, but my God, there's toxic MFers. It's twitch.tv/ESPN975. Following along on the chat on Twitch is something else. And if you've never done it before, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, Lance Wagner says, so the Astros are Scottish. Yes, they were stubborn and cheap. Okay. That's why they stuck with Montero and Abreu as long as they did. All right. Up next, guys, it's football time in Houston. The most in detail breakdown of Texans Bears. that you will ever find is next. You don't want to miss it. Every single thing you need to know for this huge game to kick off the football year.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Joe. You ready to have your ass kicked today? You ready to get swarmed on?
We're going to get swarmed today.
You ready?
I'm not ready.
Tyson
Bagent or Bagent. Or whatever your name is.
Yeah, so look, it's a preseason game number one. It's the Hall of Fame game. Hopefully the field doesn't melt like it did that one time they actually play the game.
Maybe it should just melt so we don't have to watch.
I gotta say, I have no idea who's playing. No clue. None. We asked D'Amico a couple of times. He was so coy. We asked Davis Mills, for God's sakes, if he was going to play. And he was even coy. I have no idea who's playing today. Oh, wait,
there's a chance it's like a Boyle game.
Tim Boyle.
It's just Tim Boyle for four quarters.
Oh, yeah. Tim Boyle versus, what's his name? Tyson Bagent. Chicken? Oh, Bagent. Okay.
I saw Aaron Wilson tweet last night that, like, Mechie was going to play.
Okay.
Trying to see who else. No one impressive. Wait. Here we go. He says Davis Mills set to play extensively.
All right. Well, look, he's got to earn that number two quarterback spot.
He does. But Case isn't going to play. Damian Pierce, going to play.
I don't know about... I don't like that. I actually don't like Damian Pierce playing.
With Joe Mixon hurt, I'm also going to say...
They have a ton of running backs right now. I mean, they have a guy named British Brooks. What a name that is. They have Cam Akers. I think he needs to prove that he actually belongs. You got the rookie, Jawar Jordan. There's no reason for Damian Pierce to play. I think when it comes to who the Texans play in this game, they should not be playing anybody who they expect to see regular time this year. Outside of one guy, this is literally the only guy I want to focus on. It's Kamari Lassiter and, my bad, two guys, Kalen Bullock, the safety.
I got one more.
Who?
Kenyon Green should be out there.
Mm.
I want to, like, all the reports that you've given us, and Scruggs.
And Blake Fisher.
About the interior offensive line and how bad it has looked in training camp. Not that, like, I'm going to pretend that we're going to come in here tomorrow and, like, break down interior offensive line play, but I can see it with my eyes if Kenyon Green is getting his ass kicked up and down the field in a preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two starters that I had on offense.
Okay.
That was like, I want to see them play. Also, I kind of want to see Mechie a little bit.
Mechie is going to have a huge opportunity here. I actually got a message from a friend of mine who works in Pittsburgh asking if the Houston Texans would consider trading John Mechie. And I do think that's interesting. Noah Brown or John Mechie, you do have a surplus of wide receivers. Do they think about moving on from one of those guys? So we shall see. But look, it's the first preseason game. And it's the first preseason game when a Texans team is going to play four preseason games. There's really not that much, I think, of note as far as like the top Texans that you're going to be able to take away from it. If you're a diehard Texans fan, there are reasons to watch it. You're gonna meet some heroes like Ben Skowronek, who's been making one-handed catches. Listen, you know, there's still a place in the NFL for white wide receivers. They might have discriminated us to the point where we can't play corner anymore.
That's not fake news.
Did you see Cooper DeJean doing the rookie show, trying to sing 8 Mile,
yes.
Lose Yourself by Eminem? Yeah, they all booed him. You know why?
It's pretty bad.
It wasn't good, actually.
It was pretty bad.
I was going to say because they were racist, but no, he was actually awful at it.
Or is he? He's got to do the talent show, and he's got to be the white rapper? Come on, Cooper.
That's true.
Expand your horizons.
Yeah, you should have sang DMX.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, DMX.
Yeah.
Like, every other word he has.
I mean, look, the whole room would be on edge. Like, the whole room would be like... On the edge of their seat, just like waiting to see if he screws up.
Fletcher Cox just staring straight to his soul.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Fletcher Cox are actually retired.
He might have, but I get your point.
I really would like somebody to come in and sounding like as white as humanly possible to sing something like real... Like, X gonna give it to you.
Yeah.
X
gonna give it to you. Bleep waiting for you to get it on your own. X gonna deliver to you. Knock, knock, open up the door, it's real, with a non-stop pop-up from stainless steel. Go hard getting busy with it. But I got such a good heart that I'll make a mother lover wonder if he did it. Damn right, and I'll do it again, because I am light, and I've got to win. Break bread with the enemy. What? No matter how many cats I break bread with, I'll break who you sending me. You mother bleepers never wanted but your life saved, bitch, and that's on a light day. How about that?
That was great.
Okay, thank you. I didn't get to any of the parts with the N-bombs.
That's good. That's good.
Because that's what Cooper DeJean should not do.
100%.
You got to stay away from those.
We're not going to learn a lot tonight. The fact that there's four preseason games is stupid again. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. I'm just ready for this 18-game regular season just so there's only two preseason games. I don't need to even watch three of them. And I don't know how much this is going to change from this week to next week also. Like, I don't know if we're going to see CJ Watt might play a drive next week. So it's not like this is going to be super information driven.
Yeah.
But there's a couple guys I'm curious about. Like, I'm curious about Cade Stover little bit.
He's had some drops. He's out there.
Don't love that. You know, and one guy you haven't mentioned much, and I think it's because he's not going to make the roster, my guess, is CJ Henderson.
Dude, I haven't seen him at all. I haven't seen him out there at all. So, honestly, I don't even know what number he is.
He is number 21.
Well, okay. He has been out there then.
I'm looking at their unofficial depth chart.
Yeah, I'm looking at the roster right now. It's like, oh, he's 21. Yeah, I do not remember seeing him do anything of note out there.
Lonnie Johnson Jr. Revenge Tour?
Lonnie Johnson had an interception.
So, you know.
Lonnie Johnson has had an interception.
You know what I'm most excited about tonight?
Yeah.
And I want to see the kickoff.
Ooh, yeah, that's probably where they'll put Damian Pierce, Steven Sims, like, some of the other guys. Like? Yeah, it is going to be interesting, but at the same time, I wonder if they actually break out the full kickoff, because in the preseason, all these coaches are so terrified of sharing state secrets. So we will see tonight, but Joe, better watch out. Your Bears are going down. You can bet on these games, by the way. I looked to see if there were props.
Where's my gambling problem number that I use? Because that's what I feel about preseason betting.
If you bet on preseason football, and mybookie.ag promo code bet975, you can bet on preseason football there, but my God, you are a dangerous, dangerous person.
What are you betting on?
I don't know.
The over-under?
It would be kind of fun to play daily fantasy in a preseason game where there's only one game on. So you have to pick random guys. Like, yeah, I'm going. Who am I gonna pick? Case Keenum, Tim Boyle as my quarterback. I don't know what Texans running back am I gonna pick. There's a website. There's a FanDuel write up on this for the actual daily fantasy. My God, and it's like eight paragraphs. Someone says like British Brooks or Juwar Jordan. The choice is up to you. And I would say Juwar Jordan.
Yeah, Mechie over.
Hell yeah, dude.
Cam Akers.
Oh yeah,
under.
They have him as fifth on the running back depth chart.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, he's not good, so, I mean, never been good.
Have you seen him at all?
You ever watched him play in his entire history of his time with the Texans? He's like the fifth running back out there. Like, he literally, yeah, as Joe said, he fell fifth on the depth chart. He's the fifth guy out there. And he's never been good. I've never understood this. This drives me crazy.
There's good season.
Sure he did. No, he didn't.
Will we see a player... All right, let's look. Let's make our own prop bet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Will we see over under a half a player the age of 36 and above play in tonight's game? Because there's one guy on each team that's over 36 years old.
Yeah.
Will either of them play?
Hughes. Is it Jerry Hughes?
Case Keenum.
Oh.
Yeah, Hughes is not that old.
And then from the Bears, 40-year-old Mercedes Lewis.
He's still in the league?
He's still in the league.
Shout out to him.
We see either guy over 35 playing a preseason game
tonight.
You
know what? I bet we don't see it. I bet we don't see it. I bet we do not see Case Keenum. How did I keep on having that?
I bet we don't see Case Keenum.
Thank you.
Don't see Case Keenum.
How did I not say that?
Sorry, we got there.
Yeah.
We helped you out.
What's going on?
Hey, he's not going to play tonight.
What's happening?
What's wrong with me?
How many quarterbacks are on the roster?
Too many.
Four?
Too many. Stop. We're done. We broke this game down. Like, you think 6'10 can do that?
I just hope no one gets hurt. That's all I care about.
That's why none of these guys are playing.
Yeah.
Because they might get
hurt. I don't want to see Davis Mills out there even. Like, just play Tim Boyle. If he gets hurt, whatever.
Tim Boyle?
Yeah, complete game Tim Boyle.
Which is coach of varsity blues over
there. I know.
Get out there, Tim.
British Brooks.
Stay in there.
Until you said that guy's name, I didn't even know that was a real person.
40 carries for British Brooks. Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen.
Just
all right.
Ground and pound.
No, we're done. We're done. Joe, Earl stop. Campbell we're done. Workload. This is too much preseason talk.
What time does the game start?
Who out of time tonight, okay? I'll do a live stream. That's it. That's it. We talked about it. We previewed it. 6'10 can't do that like this. Nope. No siree. It is Golan and George. He is Joe. I am Paul. Up next. We got to talk about the Olympics controversy that nobody wants to talk about. Stick around.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I'll admit I have not been watching the Olympics very intently, unless it's the women's gymnastics, strong, powerful women. Simone Biles, shout out to her. She got another gold medal. Team USA, they won again, even though formerly Michaela Maroney, I think she has another name now because she is married, was talking that ish about him. And also, we should be talking about ACC swimming legends. Stanford, of course. Katie Ledecky, who is murdering everybody at the Olympics. She has 8 career golds. She has 12 medals. It's the most for any woman, I think, all time. She won the gold in the 1,500-meter freestyle and set the 20 fastest times in the history of that race. And she's smoking people to the degree that the camera has to zoom out so that they can show her so far ahead of everybody. We should be talking about that. And I hate that this is even a slight distraction to the women competing in the Olympics that don't have any biological advantage. But what we saw in women's boxing between Algeria's Imane Khelif and Italy's Angela Carini is crazy, because it was not very long ago that Imane Khelif had been disqualified at the 2023 World Championships because she failed a gender eligibility test. She actually won a medal and was stripped of her medal because she failed gender eligibility. And yes, I too am confused as far as, am I supposed to say if you fail a gender eligibility test that this person, while competing, is it they, them, her? Truly, I do not know. But to bring it back to this, Joe, it is nuts that what we saw, Imane Khelif fight against Angela Carini, and after 46 seconds and a couple of pauses along the way, Carini, who got punched in the nose, hit very hard, withdrew from the match.
I don't think that this should be happening.
I don't either.
I don't believe that. Like, look, I don't get that lifestyle. You want to live it? I think that's great. You can do you. I think there has to be a line drawn of what should and should not be allowed. And I don't think that there should be transgender athletes in women's sports. I don't think it belongs. Because if this was on a public street and a man punched a woman, that person would go to jail for a very long time. Specifically with combat sports, it's a huge problem. Like you're talking about combat sports in which there is a huge, huge physical advantage. Yeah. It's crazy. Like, Title IX exists for a reason. So things like this don't happen. And when you have the International Association of Boxing saying that this shouldn't happen, the Olympics should be following the same guidelines. It just doesn't make sense why it's happening. It's dangerous. It's so dangerous. This is why we have, let's remove this whole, like, this part of the conversation. This is why in boxing and in UFC, we have weight classes. This is why you don't see Floyd Mayweather fight someone the size of Mike Tyson, because Floyd Mayweather would probably die. Like, there is no reason why this should be happening. I'm sorry if that offends you, if you don't like this take, but I just don't believe that specifically in combat sports, this is something that should be happening, because in any other view of society, someone that was once a man that is now no longer, and I respect that, should not be competing in an octagon or a ring with a woman. And these women are saying that they've never been hit harder in their life. I wonder why. Like, I don't agree with this.
And the backstory, no one's really doing digging, because I want to know a little bit more. Like, I want to know for sure that this is, one, a woman, or if this is a man transitioning to be a woman. I would assume that somebody who failed a gender test is a man. I would assume that. I could be wrong. I truly do not know. We're talking about two different organizations. You have the IOC and you have the IBA. The IBA is the one that disqualified Iman Khalif, who was the one who knocked out Italy's Angela Carini after about 46 seconds. So it would be nice if there was some digging, Joe, but go to ESPN's front page. Nothing on this. Go to the Olympics front page. Nothing on this. You're going to stuff like the USA Today and other websites that you don't traditionally go to just to get any information on this. And it feels like the IOC wants to just sweep this under the rug.
Yeah, because like the IBA, the International Boxing Association, they didn't help this at all by just giving this blanket, this person was not eligible without detail. This actually might be a HIPAA thing. Where they can't really say what that means to fail this test. But what I essentially take it as is someone that's like failing a steroid test.
That would make sense,
like,
too.
Like, that's essentially to me what it sounds like. Is it's like, that's what it reads as. There's no specific explanation. But there's a reason why people are upset about this. And I think they have a right to be. Because I don't believe that, like, that this should be happening. If you're being disqualified. And, like, we can like go even past like the specific thing. If you're being disqualified from sports, should you be allowed to compete in them anywhere? If I was the IOC, I would say no to that.
It's a great point, and the IOC is acting like the International Boxing Association is corrupt. that really made me laugh. Long plagued with scandal and controversy, the IBA is, and the IOC has moved away from it. Oh, the IOC never has been? The IOC is the most corrupt organization in sports. I took a class on this in college, for God's sake. And they banished the IBA for the Tokyo Games in 2021. They're ignoring them. But when being asked if there are gender eligibility tests for the IOC and for these Olympic boxing matches, they're saying nothing. Except for, well, their passports say they are women. That's it. That's all they're giving to us. And that's going to lend itself to more of the anger and the rage and all of that stuff. Because this goes straight into the culture war stuff. And I'll be honest, like, I don't have the energy to get angry about it. I would be mad, though, if I were one of those athletes competing and someone had failed a gender eligibility test. And I think just that we're at this point now where we're still doing this with sports and things like this are murky territory for a lot of people. That to me is hilarious.
Yeah,
I don't know how it is so murky. Like, this should be rather black and white. You don't have to be a jerk and say something horrible about people who are transitioning. You know, Bible says you're not supposed to do stuff like that for all those who are evangelizing over it. But it is ridiculous that this is something that people think is okay. Like, did you see what the coach said afterwards, Emmanuel Rossini? Is the coach of the Algerian, I guess, Olympic boxing team. And she said this, after one of punches, she feel a bigger pain. Well, yeah, because it seems like she's pumped with hormones like a bunch of Tyson chicken breasts.
They also opened a can of worms that they are going to regret and they're going to have to address before 2026 and 2028. Because what they literally just told us was that if LeBron James just puts female on his passport, he can play on the Team USA women's basketball team. By saying that, like, as long as that's what the passport says, like, you just opened a can of worms that you, like, you didn't want to open. Like, you have to be more specific. You have to have guidelines in place. What is allowed? Steroids or no steroids? But you know what? This is the Olympics. Everything's corrupt. Why is Russia not allowed to compete? Because they're invading Ukraine. What about the other countries who are competing, who are invading other countries? Huh. Like, this is the Olympics. This is FIFA. Like, it's always supposed to be like this, like, grand old spectacle and like lovey-dovey sports thing, but they always screw it up somehow.
Yeah.
And like, this is just the latest example of where, from the opening ceremony to now, besides people that really love Simone Biles, this is going to be what we remember about the 2024 Olympics. So congratulations, if that was your goal.
He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5. And 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Does anyone deserve praise in the Houston Astros organization for moving on from Rafael Montero? We will discuss that next. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.